If you would, take a Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We'll be reading verses 1 through 15. Proverbs chapter 6. My child, if you have given your pledge to your neighbor, if you have bound yourself to another, you are snared by the utterance of your lips, caught by the words of your mouth. So do this, my child, and save yourself, for you have come into your neighbor's power. Go, hurry, and plead with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, you lazy bones. Consider its ways and be wise. Without having any chief or officer or ruler, it prepares its food in summer and gathers its sustenance in harvest. How long will you lie there, O lazy bones? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed warrior. A scoundrel and a villain goes around with crooked speech, winking his eyes, shuffling the feet, pointing the fingers, with perverted mind devising evil, continually sowing discord. On such a one, calamity will descend suddenly, in a moment, damage beyond repair. I want us to think this morning about living smart, or smartly, or smart living. As I said earlier, schools have begun once again. Some people have finally worked out all of those vacation days that they have, and they're back at work. Students are going off to college, to graduate school, to other places. We look at the news and we read the newspaper and we see situations where we think, what in the world was that person thinking? Or we wonder about job losses and how in the world people are ever going to survive. As we've mentioned before, the latest statistics, though, say something similarly, that the average high school or college student today will change careers, not just jobs, but careers 3 to 5 times in their lifetime. And that's kind of scary when you think about it. How can we prepare for such a situation in life, in society, and how can we live smartly, wisely? What are some of the ways that we can be prepared for such situations in life? Because you see, for most people, especially adults, our personal identity gets caught up so much in our jobs and our occupations that sometimes we forget who we are apart from them and how to prepare for other areas of living. What we do for a living is oftentimes a source of self-esteem, a source of dignity, and a source of reputation with other people around us. How we perform in our vocations speaks volumes about who we are and really what we think of ourselves and what we think of others with whom we work. Our work and our play provide purpose and meaning for our lives and for the lives of those whom we influence as well. Yet most of us would probably agree that our work and sometimes our play, especially if we hate to lose, can bring a lot of stress into our lives and can affect not only our occupation but our physical health and our relationships with others. One writer states, as young people, we worry about what we're going to do with our lives in the future, especially when we're high school or college students. As middle-aged persons, we wonder what we're going to do until we approach retirement, and sometimes think about goals and dreams that we have not fulfilled. Many senior adults wonder what purpose they have now that they have retired, now that they are getting older. The passage today, I think, gives us some general guidelines for living smartly, especially in our work, but I think they also apply to every area of our lives, our work, our play, our dealings with others around us in the neighborhood, in the church, everywhere we go. And I think that if we really pay attention to the text in Proverbs, the writer is encouraging us to faithfully include God in how we work. And in doing so, that is, including God, we will find more self-esteem and preservation than we can come to by ourselves. Kind of like we mentioned earlier. When we include God, and when we include others around us who can sincere and are willing to sincerely help us, we can be that strong cord that is prepared and can survive the stresses of daily living. Now, the first five verses of this chapter are usually seen as referring to financial matters, especially in taking out loans or making a pledge to someone else, using our resources as collateral. And that we need to really be smart in how we do that. The wise father here urges the son to free himself as quickly as possible from those kinds of entanglements, from agreements that might endanger his financial well-being and that for his family. He is to be careful about entanglements which might be questionable at best. Call this 800 number and we'll send you this free packet that will get you on the road to financial success as you can learn to buy and sell property with no money down. And be sure to include your $29.95 for this free offer. We're also urged to be careful about giving our word on things. This was a time when a man's word was his bond. And some of us have grown up in those times where you didn't have to fill out at least a bush worth of paperwork to get a loan or to get a car or a home or land or anything else. You shook hands and that was enough. A man's word was his bond. And I think part of what the writer is trying to tell us here in Proverbs chapter 6 is that we need to be very cautious and thoughtfully careful when we make agreements. Not just financially, but vocationally and socially. And that our word needs to be our bond. And if we find ourselves indebted to someone, we need to very carefully and as quickly as possible discharge those debts. Now, while this is speaking initially financially, it's interesting that in Hebrew, the word for sin is the same word as debt. In Hebrew thought, one of the words for sin is the same as the word for debt. In Hebrew thought, if you sinned against someone, you actually owed a debt to them. And you were not free to go along with the rest of your life until you were humble enough to make that right. By the same token, if you owed someone a financial debt, it was the same situation, like having sinned against them and you were not free to go on to all of your other pursuits unless you made that right. And so we're not just talking about finances here. We're talking about that debt that we owe to each other and to God. We're talking about a situation where we are to make sure that our word is our bond and that others know that they can count on that. A second rule for smart living relates to work ethic. The writer of Proverbs very often teaches wisdom through comparisons with the natural world, and this is one of those places, with that comparison of the hard work of an ant and the laziness of many people. He encourages his readers to be diligent in their work ethic in order to avoid poverty. And once again, not just financial poverty, but poverty in relationships. You know, it takes work to build relationships and to keep those relationships growing, whether it's a marriage or a friendship or in other areas of life. We have to diligently work at that. And yet, not all persons who are unemployed or persons living below the poverty line are lazy. And not all hard workers are paid fairly. But we're encouraged to be diligent in everything that we do, regardless of what is returned to us, both in work and in preparation for those winter seasons that arrive in life. Those times when we feel left out, when we feel like we're out in the cold from relationships or jobs or other situations in life. Unfortunately, though, there are many in our world who think that the world owes them a living. And sorry, I remember a Disney cartoon and a Disney record from my childhood, The Grasshopper and the Ant. And the grasshopper sang a song as the ants were getting ready for winter, and he was just kind of playing along, and he had a fiddle, and he would sing, "Oh, the world owes me a living, dee-de-la-de-lo-de-lum. Oh, the world owes me a living, dee-de-la-de-lo-de-lum." And then when the winter came, he almost died, but the ants did help him. But there are many people who feel that way. Oh, the world owes me a living. Yet how we live our lives and show a strong work ethic can also be a teaching tool. A teaching tool for others, but more importantly, a strong work ethic is an expectation from God. It also provides for the future. And these verses tell us that we are to be careful and lay aside some things for the future need, not just of ourselves, but our families and our friends and those with whom we have relationships. A word of caution, though. I know nobody in here is, but we all know people who are workaholics, right? Who never seem to rest, who never seem to find enough time in the day. If there were 36 hours in a day, they'd need 38. While the Scripture teaches the wisdom of a strong work ethic, the Scriptures also teach the wisdom, in fact, the command from God to rest as well. To rest from work regularly. That rest is seen in a variety of places, but probably the first one that comes to mind is the establishment of the Sabbath in Exodus chapter 16. Rest, which is for spiritual, physical, and emotional renewal. Work was ordered as part of creation before the fall. Remember, the man and the woman were placed in the garden to be caretakers, to till the garden, to take care of it. And it is a part of the created order of the world. But God not only expects us to take those responsibilities seriously, but to remember Sabbath with diligence as well, so that we can experience the rest and the renewal that is for us through worship and recreation. That's what Sabbath is for. We must make sure that we do not work without purpose and meaning, though, but that we are including God in our purposeful and worshipful work. By the way, about 2 years ago, CBF of South Carolina Coordinating Council adopted a theme for everything we do, and when we meet and discuss business of CBF of South Carolina or give reports from our committees, it is titled Worshipful Work. Worshipful Work. Recognizing that our work is to be offered as worship to God. And you know, I think Paul says something about that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 as well. A third rule for smart living is to be honest and careful in our work and play. We are to avoid questionable or wicked dealings. You know, the prophets of Israel are constantly condemning evil dealings as despicable sins, especially when they affect the poor. In Amos chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Amos addresses that issue of Israel's sinful actions. They sell the poor for a pair of shoes. They lie down beside the altar on garments that have been taken in pledge. Those in positions of power and leadership had used their position and their power to oppress others, especially those who were less fortunate than they, in order to feel powerful and to obtain more for themselves. They sold the poor for the smallest debt or indiscretion to keep them in their place. The writer states here that such dealings will eventually result in judgment and disaster. Unfortunately, it's not just those people out there that do this. Some Christians are just as guilty and are not immune from acting in such a way. Some prey on those who have less in order to build their kingdoms, sometimes invoking God's name to convince their contributors that they should give. We are, as Christians, to avoid plots to take advantage of others or sow discord, whether at work, at home, or at church. Genuine humility is a prime factor in avoiding being caught up in discord and in power plays. In the stories of Camelot, Lancelot du Lac is so impressed by his own power and prowess, which he attributes to God, that he fails to recognize the pitfalls that await him, especially with Queen Guinevere. And in the musical Camelot, one of the lines in one of the songs, he's singing about, I'm blessed with an iron will. If I'd been made the partner of Eve, we'd be in Eden still. He thought he was God's greatest gift, even to God. And yet, his fall was very public and very great in the stories of Camelot. We as Christians, as God's children, are to be very careful about false humility and the use of power. Now, we all want to be successful in life. And we can be, if we are smart in the ways we approach living our lives. We must be careful and prudent in our agreements with others, diligent in our work ethic, seeing it as worshipful work, and being just as diligent in Sabbath responsibilities. We are also to have genuine humility in the ways we relate to others. And when these become a regular part of our lifestyle, so regular that we do not have to think about them, then perhaps we can attain that wisdom that will teach the world what smart living is and how smart living will better our world. That's our challenge, each and every one of us, but not alone. Even together as the strongly bound cord. May we pray. Our gracious God, we do thank You that You give us opportunities to work, to play, to relate with You and with each other. Help us to be smart and prudent in our agreements, diligent in our work, diligent in our rest and worship, diligent in humbly serving You and each other. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is 596, I Surrender All. As we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, whether that is a first-time profession of faith in Christ, not just as Savior, but as Lord, whether it is to become part of this fellowship to minister in and from this place, or whether it is recommitment to that which God has called you. Number 596, I surrender all.